My name's Ken. This is Friday Morning Jazz in the Groove. We're going to have a special guest in the next hour. Mike Casey is going to stop by and we'll chat a little bit. Great alto sax player from the area here, and he'll be playing at the Side Door Jazz Club in Old Lyme, so we're going to talk about that and other things. Meanwhile, let's get on with some more music. I haven't heard this one yet. Should be interesting. This is Jeff Coffin. He's a fine saxophone player, and he's with the Kalib Chapman's Crescent Super Band. So I'm expecting a kind of a New Orleans sound with that title in mind. So we're going to hear a track from that. This is called Tall and Lanky.
Thank you.
Yes, we heard Dr. Lonnie Smith from his brand new album entitled Evolution. And, of course, the last one you heard was Straight No Chaser, the Thelonious Monk classic. Before that, we heard a track called Aphrodisia, which also features Joe Lovano on tenor sax. All right, let's see. We started out that set, I don't think I announced it, with Jeff Coffin with the Kalib Chapman's Crescent Super Band, and we heard a track called Tall and Lanky from his new album called Inside of the Outside, a real New Orleans kind of sound. I dig that. And here in the studio with us, we've got Mike Casey. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well, Ken. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming on the air here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And Mike's going to be appearing at the Side Door Jazz Club. We're going to hear, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, in case you're not familiar with Mike Casey, he's a, I know he mostly is an alto sax player, but I don't think I can just say alto sax player anymore, because more recently I've heard you play the tenor as well quite a bit.
Yes.
So which horn do you prefer?
I don't know if I can say, because if I say one, the other one gets jealous.
All right. Is it a tough transition?
It is, yeah. I mean, in some ways, no, because I've listened to mostly tenor players my whole life. But, you know, instrumentally, technique-wise, yes, it's something I've had to really shed, the tenor.
All right, now I'm not a musician, but it's, aren't they a half step off or something? Is one a C and one a B flat instrument, or do I have that completely wrong?
You're sort of there. So one is E flat, one's B flat, but okay. It's an octave and a fourth away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually have to kind of transpose those as you're playing?
Yeah, I do. So the fingerings are all the same, but it comes out sounding different, which is almost harder, because if it was all different fingerings, it would kind of, you know, make it a little easier. It's in a whole different headspace.
Yeah.
So similar but different kind of makes it more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike's also a recent graduate of Hart School of Music, Jackie McLean Institute for Jazz. I don't know. Why don't you talk a little bit about what that experience was for you? And
sure. So let's go back, rewind a little bit. I started attending the Greater Hartford Academy for the Arts my sophomore year of high school. And that was my introduction to the Hartford jazz scene. Many wonderful players were actually teachers there, including Chris Allen and Chris Casey. That's kind of how I made the transition, getting to know them. And I applied at a bunch of different schools and ended up picking Hart, you know, for many reasons, one of which was the track record is impeccable. And it was something that I had seen firsthand going to Black Eyed Sally's in high school, even.
Yeah.
Seeing, you know, Javon Alexander, Josh Bruno, Jonathan Barber playing with the professors at Sally's.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily 100% sure that was happening other places. So I was really drawn to that family aspect, and that they really go out of their way to help the younger musicians.
Seeing as your main acts is the alto, do you feel a connection to Jackie McLean and his music you know, what he's meant to the Hartford area as far as the music and the arts scene here?
Yes, I do. Jackie, unfortunately, I never got to meet him. He passed before I got too serious about the music. But he's an incredible individual. He did so much for the local art scene and the jazz scene, and it's a legacy that is, you know, pretty unique. You know, no one else in the jazz world has founded two cultural institutions that have lasted over 30 years in the same place, one of which in a university, the other more of a community outreach with the Artist Collective. And to see all the proteges he's had, and then they go on to have careers, and then they end up teaching us and passing it along, to me, that's so important to this music, because when I learn a Charlie Parker head, I'm learning it from Chris Allen or Steve Davis, who learned it from Jackie, who learned it from Bird.
Yeah.
He was there, you know, and that's the oral tradition in effect, and that's very important to this music.
All right, well, maybe we'll play a track. Let's see, you mentioned a couple tracks we could play of yours, so let's give the listeners a taste of Mike Casey. And what should I play here, The House of Mirrors or Mac the Knife?
Why don't we do Mac the Knife first?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so this is Mike Casey's trio format?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mac the Knife. Very.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All right. very cool arrangement.
Thank you.
Now, that was in the trio format, and I know from hearing you at many, many gigs, you seem to really like that trio format. What is it about trio that you like?
Good question. So, it's a couple of things. A big part of it for me is actually the acoustic end of it. You know, when the piano is not there, every instrument rings more. There's more space, and you hear more of the saxophone, more of the drums, more of the bass. Whereas the piano, since it's got such a huge range, and it's taking up a very unique and large sound space sonically, it kind of covers things up.
Yeah.
And the other end is it's just a little bit more freeing, you know. And if you get the right bassist and the right drummer, it really opens you up, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun.
All right. I was kind of interested in asking you that because recently I heard a recorded interview with Sonny Rollins. And it was kind of the same question that was asked of Sonny Rollins. And he said he didn't really like playing with pianos for the same kind of reason, that it has such a wide dynamic range and it can play bass and it can play chords and it can play rhythms that it takes away from what he can do. Yeah, and also draws the audience more towards the piano. He didn't say like he wants to be in the spotlight, and I'm sure he didn't mean that. But it's more of like you were saying, maybe take that away, and it gives you more freedom to express yourself.
It does, yeah. And the other thing that's really cool about it is that when you start writing original music for that format, it's a very unique challenge.
Yeah.
And you're forced to think differently because you've really just got two notes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe three if the bassist is playing a chord and you're playing tenor. It doesn't work on alto. It's too big of a gap to have that ring. I've learned that the hard way. But you know, it's really nice because you end up having to get in a different headspace and you end up writing a little differently, and you end up, I think, focusing a lot more on rhythm and on melody. A lot of jazz, especially today, is very harmony based.
Yeah,
you know.
Sonny Rollins also said in that same response that he'd rather play with guitar, and you know, he did a lot of great collaborations with
Jim Hall.
Who I'm thinking of. Thank you. But it's got to be a lot more challenging because you have to carry a lot more, you know, a lot more weight. You're playing a lot more time, but also, you know, you don't have that break either when piano's doing his solo. And
Yeah, it's very true. But you know, if you have a bassist that can pick up the slack, unfortunately, I do. Shout out to Matt Dwanzik. It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah. Matt's great. Actually, why don't we mention who played on that last track with you on so, that?
Yeah, so that was Matt Dwanzik on bass and Mike Camacho on drums.
Right. Both gone on to New York City now.
Yeah.
That seems to be the kind of natural evolution of many of the great players coming out of the Hartford area. You're going to hang in here for a while or what?
For a little bit, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'd like to move, just working on making that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about your upcoming gig at the Side Door. The Side Door, I talk about it a lot on this show because it really is one of my favorite clubs. And I go to all the clubs in New York City, and when I'm traveling, I always hit the jazz clubs all over the country and the world. And I got to say, the Side Door Jazz Club, it's got to rank up among the best. But you've been there a lot. How do you feel about that room?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to take our word for it, I think actually fairly recently Downbeat listed it as one of its top jazz venues worldwide.
Oh, okay.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, there's something very unique about it. It's just the right size. The acoustics are just impeccable. The lighting. Last time I was there, at the beginning of the second set, the owner, Ken Kitchen, got up and he goes, "This is the second set. This is no longer a jazz club. It's a living room."
Yes.
And I'm thinking, yeah, it is. It feels like it. It's that kind of relaxed atmosphere, and there's just a great connection between the artists on stage and those in the audience. So, yeah, kudos to Ken Kitchen and Jan Mullen and people who run that great club, and it's in Old Lyme, Connecticut. Now, your gig, let's get to the specifics. When is that happening?
So that's happening Friday, February 26th.
Yeah. Okay.
Doors open at 7:30, show is at 8:30. Tickets are $25. I'd recommend getting them online in advance if you can. And joining me will be my trio, Matt Dwanzik on bass and Corey Garcia on drums.
Yes. Two great players, Matt Dwanzik. Really, I mean, I've watched Matt Dwanzik play since his high school days and just seen him evolve. And Corey Garcia, also just a great drummer. I kind of look at you as a very, really hard worker, really serious about your instrument and making yourself better and better and learning more and more. And I think you work really hard at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I do. Yes.
What kind of work do you put in on it?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I've been playing for 13 years, yeah. and as I like to tell my saxophone students, that sometimes they'll ask, "Oh, how did you get there?" And I'm like, "Well, I only sound as good as I do right now, as I do today. Like, I just sounded that good today.
Yeah.
It's taking every single day up until this day right here for me to sound the way I do, and it takes a lot of work. So
yeah, and I think always playing in that trio format is challenging. Like, I feel like you're trying to challenge yourself, and now putting a big emphasis on playing the tenor as well as alto. Was that like challenging yourself, or was it like a natural evolution or something you've always done? Because I think maybe years ago, I think you pretty much stuck to that alto, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I've been playing the alto for 13 years. The tenor, I owned one in high school, but I didn't really play it much. And then I really only got into the tenor like the last 6-8 months.
Yeah.
And I've been shedding on a lot, practicing, sorry.
Yeah.
On it a lot.
Yeah, you can say shedding, man. That's all right.
You know, for the last 6 months. And it's a little bit of both. It's a kind of a natural evolution. As I mentioned before, most of the saxophonists I listen to are tenor players. And then also to push myself, you know.
Yeah.
It's a challenge coming from alto to the tenor, and also specifically being one of the few people that plays both. You know, I don't know if I'll do this at the Side Door, but I'll do one set. If the gig is two sets, I'll do one set all tenor, one set all alto.
Right.
It's very hard to do.
Hey, how about soprano, flute?
Soprano, I actually would like to play. I don't own one yet. I'm working on that. And flute and clarinet, I play a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's listen to a little more of Mike Casey Trio. This one's called The House of Mirrors. It's a original composition. You want to say anything about it before we play?
Sure. So this is actually based on a childhood memory. When I was young, I used to go to the circus. This is before I even lived in Connecticut. It's back in Sharon, Mass, and there was this circus down the street from where I live. And I'd go in, and I'd go in the fun house, where reality is distorted and nothing is what it seems. Mm-hmm. So this tune is based on those memories, the All House right. of Mirrors.
All right, Mike Casey and the House of Mirrors. Thank you. Mike Casey Trio with the House of Mirrors original composition. Once again, the date for the side door?
That's February 26th.
Okay.
Friday.
As far as the listing of your gigs when they come up, where can we see that?
Good question. So that's at my website. That's MikeCaseyJazz.com. And right. My last name, Casey, is with a C, so C-A-S-E-Y.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is a special gift for all your listeners.
Great.
If anyone wants 3 free songs, including some of the ones you heard today, you can visit MikeCaseyJazz.com/free. If you join the monthly newsletter, you get 3 free downloads.
All right. Now, take advantage of those offers, download some of those tunes, and sign up to that newsletter.
Wow. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. So thanks for coming by. We cover everything we need to cover here, Mike?
One last thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
For those of you in Connecticut or beyond, either way is fine, I think. The trio was actually nominated for Best Jazz in the 2016 Connecticut Music Awards.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. So we'd really appreciate your votes if you'd be willing to help us out. It's bestof.ctnow.com, and they have a bunch of bands, all different genres up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, thanks again.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, we're going to continue on with some more music. There's an album here that looks pretty interesting. It's from Bill Stewart. It's called Space Squid. We're going to hear a track entitled Paris Lope.
wish I knew why I'm so in love with you. No one else in this world will do. Darling, please save your love for me. Run away. If I were wise, I'd run away. But like a fool in love, I stay and pray you'll save your love for me. I can feel it even when not here, can't conceal it. I really love you, my dear. And though I know no good can come from loving you, I can't do a thing. Oh, I'm so in love with you. So darling, have mercy on a fool like me. I know I'm lost, but still I plead. Darling, please save your love for me. You may have but for crying out loud, darling, please save your love for me.
mentioned, you listened to the last tracks you listened to were from Cannonball Adderley and Nancy Wilson, and they did an album together, and it's a great album. We heard two tracks, starting with Save Your Love for Me, with those great, great vocals from Nancy Wilson, and followed by an instrumental from Cannonball entitled Teaneck, and I'm sure that refers to Teaneck, New Jersey, which is, I kind of grew up right there, actually. Yeah. All right, we're going to finish out the show with, we're going to finish out the show with a new one by Jeremy Pelt. Got a great quintet on that, quartet, actually. Jeremy Pelt on trumpet, Ron Carter on bass, Billy Drummond on drums, and Danny Crissett on piano and Fender Rhodes. We're going to hear a track called The Haunting.